Hey, it's Eric Mona from Paizo Publishing, and you're in tune to The Tome.
Welcome to The Tome, episode 68. The Tome is a D&D news, reviews, and interviews show, and I'm your Tome host, Jeff Greiner. In this episode, we will be fighting off evil with Rise of the Rune Lords. Jeffrey D. Wynn brings us this review of the first Pathfinder Adventure Path from Paizo Publishing. I got to meet Jeffrey at Origins 2008, which I just got back from at, about 1 in the morning today. Meeting up with him, as well as playing a killer toy with him in a Cthulhu game, as well as meeting up with some of you other guys who were at the con, was actually really, really awesome. By far, my favorite part of the con was meeting listeners and contributors to the show, and I really hope to be able to do more of that in the future. But besides doing that, I also got interviews, recorded some seminars, and told people all over the place about the show. Oh, and I did play a game or two now and then. I have all sorts of audio to work on, people to email about different projects, plans started for the future of the show that I'm excited about, as well as a possible video project that I worked on while I was at the show. All in all, it was a great con. But that said, it is going to take me some time to get all that audio cleaned up, edited, and released to you guys. So I have a few things for you to listen to in the meantime. In this episode, we're going to bring you a review of Rise of the Rune Lords. Before I get into Rune Lords, however, I wanted to remind you about the Tome Summer 2008 contest. The prize pool is growing, and I have added a new contest sponsor, Sinister Adventures, who is going to give a copy of Razor Coast to each of the three winners. Be sure to check out the contest page for instructions on how to enter, as well as a list of all the prizes that you can win, and links to the sponsors. Thanks go out to those sponsors, Q Workshop, awesome dice makers, Pulp Gamer, awesome podcasters, Green Ronin, awesome Pirates Adventure Makers, Paizo Publishing, awesome 3rd Edition D&D Stick-to-it-ers, Goodman Games, awesome Classic Adventure Makers, High Moon Media, awesome Historical PDF Publisher, Swords Edge Publishing, also an awesome PDF Publisher, and Sinister Adventures, awesome Gritty Adventure Makers. Be sure to check it out. Many of you already have. You have until the end of August 2008 to enter the contest. There will be a whole episode dedicated to discussing the prizes. And I wanted to point out one thing. I love my international listeners. However, as it says on the contest page, I can't afford to send all these prizes to international listeners. I send these prizes to the winners at my own personal expense. And the things I do on the show to make some money really don't make any profit. They sometimes manage to pay the hosting fees and the other expenses for the show. And I simply can't afford to send stuff all over the place. So if an international winner happens to win the contest, and they're welcome to enter, and they're welcome to fill out the survey that it takes to enter, I'm happy for feedback from international listeners. They're either going to have to pay for the shipping to get the products to them, or they're going to have to forfeit the physical winnings, the books, to a runner-up. They can still, of course, get the PDF winnings. And I really hate to do this. I know you guys are understanding, and I thank you for that. Now, let's talk about Rise of the Rune Lords. I want to give a bit of history about this product before I turn it over to Jeffrey D. Wynn. When Dungeon Magazine went out of print so that Wizards of the Coast could make it a digital-only offering, Paizo Publishing, who previously had made the magazine, decided that the Adventure Path part of the magazines should continue. So they started Pathfinder. Since then, about a year later now, they have finished the first Adventure Path, which you'll hear about today, started the second one, branched out into standalone modules, a campaign setting, other types of supplements, and have announced the Pathfinder RPG, which has been in alpha test and is going into beta test later this summer. But this, Rise of the Rune Lords, is the first of the bunch, the first path that got Pathfinder started. So, take it away, Jeffrey D. Wynn.
Hello out there, all you fans of The Tome Show. This is Jeffrey D. Wynn bringing you a review of Pathfinder, Rise of the Rune Lords from Paizo Publishing. Now, unless you've been living in a cave or under a rock, you know that last year, Dragon Magazine and Dungeon Magazine, which were formerly published by Paizo, were taken away from Paizo by Wizards of the Coast, who wanted to publish them online rather than as printed magazines. So instead, towards the end of last summer, Paizo rolled out their new line of Pathfinder products, and it's now been over 6 months, almost a year, since the product's been out, and it's time to do a report on it. So the first volume of Pathfinder came off the presses around October or November of last year, with new volumes planned about once a month, although it does occasionally seem like they're falling behind schedule. Additionally, Paizo quickly announced a number of other product lines that would go alongside Pathfinder, including Pathfinder Chronicles, Pathfinder Companion, and their Game Mastery modules. All of these products take place in Paizo's own new campaign world, the Pathfinder campaign setting, or as it's also known, Galarion. Finding a word to describe what Pathfinder is a bit difficult. It's not really a magazine because it doesn't look like a magazine. It's printed on very fine quality materials. It's almost like a book, and although each volume has a number, it doesn't have a date like a magazine would. It's simply volumes of a journal. So the way that Pathfinder works is that every 6 issues is a series of connected adventures called an adventure path, very similar to the 12-part adventure paths that Paizo did for Dungeon Magazine, which were very popular towards the end of the magazine's run. The first adventure path is called Rise of the Rune Lords, and that comprises volumes 1 through 6. The second adventure path is called Curse of the Crimson Throne. That comprises volumes 7 through 12. And the third adventure path, which is not even out yet, is going to be called Second Darkness. And they have several more adventure paths planned for as long as the product continues to be published. I'm going to keep my review to the first 6 volumes of Pathfinder, which comprise the Rise of the Rune Lords adventure path. Volume 1 is Burnt Offerings by James Jacobs, who is editor of Pathfinder. The second volume is The Skin Sawmurders by Richard Pett. The third volume is The Hook Mountain Massacre by Nicholas Logue, a fan favorite. The fourth volume is Fortress of the Stone Giants by Wolfgang Bauer, a well-known name in D&D. Fifth volume is Sins of the Saviors by Stephen S. Greer. And the sixth volume is The Spires of Sinjalast by Greg A. Vaughn. The plot of Rise of the Rune Lords, and I'm going to be brief so as to avoid too many spoilers, the plot is that an ancient evil ruler of a long-dead empire has recently returned to life, and a group of PCs from the small town of Sandpoint are the only ones who can stop him. Now that may sound like a pretty simple plot, but the road from being small-time heroes to being world-saving epic heroes is a long one, and there are many twists and turns along the way. If you're familiar with Paizo's adventures from Dungeon Magazine, you know the kind of quality adventures that Paizo's writers can deliver, and Pathfinder brings you much of the same. In fact, now that Paizo is no longer under the yoke, as it were, of Wizards of the Coast, they have much more freedom to try things that they would not have been able to do before. The adventures are a lot more adult in nature. There's a lot more violence and sexuality that you wouldn't have seen in the pages of Dungeon Magazine. Sometimes it gets to be a little bit too much. There's a lot of gross stuff that happens in some of these adventures, particularly number 3, The Hook Mountain Massacre by Nicholas Logue, has some pretty gory elements to it, and some people have complained. However, one thing that seems to have people cheering is that we've seen a number of homosexual NPCs in the pages of Pathfinder, and there seems to be a healthy mix of black people, white people, Asian people, and other skin colors as well in Pathfinder. So lots of people are very happy with the level of diversity that we're seeing in Pathfinder. So in addition to a 50-page adventure in each volume of Pathfinder, we find two support articles. We find an issue of the Pathfinder Journal featuring the adventures of Edro Klein, and every issue features a bestiary in the back with six original monsters. The support articles usually have something to do with the adventure that's in the same volume. We've had articles about how to run a castle if your PCs want to take over a castle and be lords of the castle. We've had an article how to run an adventure in high altitudes. We've also had articles detailing various parts of the campaign setting, such as the town of Sandpoint, the city of Magnamar, and the ancient empire of Thassilon. But my favorite article so far would have to be the Deities articles written by Sean K. Reynolds, who you may remember wrote the Core Beliefs articles for Dungeon Magazine. So far, we've had two Deities articles. One was Desna, Goddess of Dreams. She's sort of a chaotic, good deity for bards and all sorts of artists, poets, and chaotic, happy people like elves. And we also have Lamashtu, who is a rather scary goddess. Mother of Monsters is her title. She's really creepy and evil and weird, and I can't even begin to describe her creepiness and weirdness. You just have to read the article, but it's very good, and I enjoyed it. Okay, on to the Pathfinder Journal. The Pathfinder Journal is basically serialized fiction following the adventures of Edro Klein as he makes his way back and forth across Varizia, having various adventures and meeting all sorts of strange, exotic peoples. I can't say I'm too terribly enthralled with this section. I mean, it's good for what it is, but I'd still rather read an actual fantasy novel if I want something to read. The general purpose of the Pathfinder Journal seems to be to detail various elements of the campaign setting that have either already been introduced or they plan to introduce in the future in some other Pathfinder product. And this is one of my issues with Pathfinder, this sort of cross-promotion that's going on all the time. But I'll get to that later in a bit. And finally, on to the monster section. Every volume of Pathfinder so far has a bestiary in the back with six brand new monsters every volume. So far, the monsters have been okay. They don't really make the product. They're usually tied to, again, to the adventure in the volume. And I wouldn't really recommend buying Pathfinder just for the monsters. However, that said, there have been some pretty interesting monsters, and monsters are always fun to flip through and just look at and give yourself ideas for upcoming adventures. And so moving on, that should give you a pretty good idea of what you'll find in the pages of Pathfinder. If you're interested in running an adventure path, I would highly recommend checking out this product. Paizo rarely disappoints, and if you were an avid reader of Dragon Magazine and Dungeon Magazine for the past 5 years, you will already be familiar with their quality. So if you're considering investing in Pathfinder, getting yourself a subscription, the question you should really be asking yourself is, how deeply do I want to get involved in Pathfinder? If you take a moment to visit the Paizo webpage and go to their Pathfinder section, the first thing you will notice about Pathfinder is that there is a lot of it. Not only are there the Pathfinder Adventure Paths, one volume every month, there's also the Pathfinder Chronicles line of products, which include books that support their campaign setting. There's another line of products coming out called Pathfinder Companion, which is even smaller books aimed at helping out players. And then there's the Game Mastery modules, which are standalone modules that come out once a month, which also take place in their campaign setting but have nothing to do with the adventure paths. So with all of these great products coming out from Paizo, the question is, where do you draw the line? How much Pathfinder is too much Pathfinder? With an adventure path being 6 issues and 12 issues being published a year, that's 2 adventure paths per year. And I don't know about you, but that seems like a lot for one gaming group. I would think that most groups playing at a standard rate of play could maybe get through one adventure path in 2 years. That's if they were playing every week or several times a month. So if you just want an adventure path to run for your gaming group, and that's all you want, your best bet is probably to buy 6 volumes directly from their website and just run those 6 volumes for your players. However, there are advantages to getting a Pathfinder subscription. First of all, Paizo gives you 15% off each issue of Pathfinder, which is good because even with that 15%, Pathfinder volumes are more expensive than Dragon Magazine or Dungeon Magazine ever were. In addition, Paizo, if you have a Pathfinder subscription, Paizo will give you 10% off of anything in their online store. So if you've got the money to spare and you plan well, you can pretty heavily immerse yourself in Pathfinder and have stuff to keep yourself busy for many, many months. It's actually pretty scary to see how much stuff Paizo rolls out every month, considering it seems to be the same dozen or so guys writing all this stuff. But that's Paizo for you. They just keep chugging along, and they don't show any signs of stopping. I think that with Pathfinder and their new Pathfinder RPG, Wizards of the Coast is going to have some pretty stiff competition for their 4th edition material. But that's a good thing, because competition is what motivates us to keep getting better and better, and I look forward to buying both Pathfinder stuff and D&D 4th edition stuff in the months to come. So, given all this, it seems like it's a pretty exciting time to be a Dungeons & Dragons fan. I really enjoyed doing this review of Pathfinder, and I hope you'll now go to the Paizo.com website and take a look at their Pathfinder products. And I hope you'll also email the Tome Show and let Jeff Greiner know how much you enjoy listening. He really enjoys hearing your feedback. And now, once again, I will turn things over back to the host with the most, Jeff Greiner. Jeff?
Well, that's Rise of the Rune Lords. Now a quick promo from the 3.5 Private Sanctuary, because Rune Lords is a 3.5 adventure, and Pathfinder is going to stick with 3rd edition D&D for the foreseeable future.
You enter a room. Immediately to your right, there is a computer, some recording equipment. In the back of the room, there is a very impressive shelf of Dungeons & Dragons 3.5 edition source books. What do you do?
I think I'd like to set up a website.
Roll for web design. You register the domain 35privatesanctuary.com. What kind of content would you like on your website?
I'd like some original content. I'd like some reviews of 3.5 edition material. I'd like a forum to talk about Dungeons & Dragons and other 3.5 related.
Don't forget that you've got the microphones on your right.
Oh, I'd like a podcast.
Roll for podcast. Critical hit. 3.5's Private Sanctuary is the online resource for Dungeons & Dragons gamers that will continue to play 3.5 edition of the rules. You can find us at www.35privatesanctuary.com.
Well, that's episode 68. And hey, why don't you email the show at thetomeshow@gmail.com and let us know what you think. Or if you agree, disagree, or are confused by something, hop onto the forums at thetomeshow.com. Also, you can help the show get noticed with reviews or votes on various sites, but more than that, get out there and tell people about the show. Maybe blog about your favorite episode. Also, don't forget to consider checking out the Tome's Amazon store for products discussed on this episode and more. The show gets part of the proceeds, and that helps keep us on the air. And once again, you can find all of that at thetomeshow.com. And of course, we continue to work with our partner podcasts, Fistful of Comics and Games, and Gamer's Haven, so be sure to check out those shows. Links for things mentioned in this show can be found in the show notes on the website at thetomeshow.com. This has been episode 68, Rise of the Rune Lords of...
The Tome.